Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. I can't believe we are already going to be going home tomorrow. And we've had a great week in Florida. It is October 27th, 2017. It just feels like such a clean, clear day. It's a day to talk about things. A lot is changing, you guys. Today is Questions Friday. And even from everybody's questions, the kinds of things we're asking about, the kinds of things we're talking about, we are hitting a place where our questions are bigger, are stronger, and our answers are better understood. They're more like working answers. And one of the things that I was asked, one of the comments that were made by Francis during this week after the show we did about faith, it ended up being about faith, like what's stopping us from happiness or what's the big block. And really, we have a fear of happiness because we're afraid it's going to go away. So we're kind of better off not even delving into it. And Christ kind of took over the show that day and said, you know, it's faith. When you have faith, and the minute we call it faith, we think God and we think Christ and we think whatever religion we belong to and we think all these things. But the bottom line is anything you have faith in, if you believe you can learn something or you go to school to study something and then you now know it, now you have faith in it. When you have faith in it, you can do it. The same is with people. When you are involved with someone and you have faith in them, you can stay there because you believe you will be okay. But when you don't have faith in the people you are around, you start to go into a self-protective mode and you start to believe somehow that you are not safe anymore. So with that lack of faith, day after day, you eventually have to leave because we are survivors. Instinctively, we are survivors. Stay where there is no food. People cannot stay where we are not emotionally fed because we are the only emotional, intelligent beings who can talk, who can walk, who can, you know, build and who can do other things. We're not just driven by instinct. So we are going to be more complex and we are going to be capable of doing great things and we're going to be capable of doing really harsh things, really bad things. And we have to know, like when people say, well, there's so much bad in the world. And I say, that's interesting that that's what you chose only to look at because there's always balance. But when we don't look, we do not find. And that's because we don't have faith that there's anything good or anything bad. It's a really interesting thing. So when Christ takes over the show, I love it. I learned from it. I also had a question from Eric Hillis, who said, sometimes, you know, the answers you give me, could they be exactly from Christ? Sometimes, you know, I can't tell the difference between Christ and myself. So I have to learn to slow down, try to answer everything and give Christ time to answer me because the answers come and sometimes it takes a long time and I want to make sure that people are answered in a timely manner. So from now on, as a result of that conversation, I am going to wait things through because I know Christ told me he speaks to everyone in their own language and in a way they can understand things. And in those papers that were written, by the farmer in the early 2000s, you know, and a lot has changed between then and now in terms of evolution. I mean, that's when I started writing in 2002 as well. Everything came to people in a way they can understand it because it's one step at a time. And what's interesting to me is sometimes the stuff that's in there, you know, Christ never said to me, but the calmness in the voice, the lack of objectivity, the lack of judgment. So I have to let myself marinate. So if I can't get to someone, I know my inbox is like crazy full all the time, and I try to cover it in the shows. I try to cover it in other ways because physically they're just the time you need is actually pretty ridiculous to do all of this. And sometimes I wish there were a couple of me and someone who could, like, just hear Christ for me, but pressure on myself in terms of time. It's really interesting, but I got so accustomed in a really weird way. So when people say, you know, what does Christ say? I have to let you know that Christ is not Christ on demand. He is just gives me the information when I get it. Just like with shows, sometimes he pops in and doesn't leave. And I know that I'm always guided. I'm always with him. But there's times where he literally just takes over. And when that happens, I enjoy it so much. I am still so amazed. And it's more and more every day. And I know he said, I will become this information and it will become me. And I feel very, very strongly that I want to say this startles me, because that feeling of strength that I get, that feeling of detachment from anything, is when I know he's there. Because me, I'm a human. And what he tells us is for us as humans, not for us as people from home. Because if we were people from home, we'd go back home. We need to know how to deal with life here, here and now. How do I do this? How do I do that? Just give me insight, because that's what we're looking for. That's the reason we're here. If people try to act like they're above what's going on to human beings, that's something that starts getting scary to me, because nobody's above being a human being, because we are human beings. Nobody's above doing something that they're not happy about. Nobody's above any of these things. We're all in this together, me included. Do I do things differently since I've seen Christ? Yes. But when something's wrong, and I know something's wrong, and I have to speak on it, and I'm in a situation right now where I'm having to speak on it, somebody who continuously lies and doesn't even know they're lying, and they keep wanting another chance and another chance, and they claim to have a big breakthrough, and they want me to be a part of their lives, and yet I've been lied to for a very long time, to the point where I can't even see the person, because I don't believe they have the ability to stop lying. And if somebody's going to continuously lie, what do we have to hold on to? So we have to think about these things. I don't not want to see the person. I love the person. I care about the person. But if every time I talk to them, I know that they don't care about what answer they give me, and they're just trying to shut me up or whatever it is they need from me, then I have to ask myself, well, first of all, why do they want me there? And second of all, why am I there? And I had to really be honest with myself. I said, you know, but I love this person and I care about this person and I don't want them to be hurt and I don't want them to feel like they failed and I don't want them to feel bad and all this stuff. Time. Where when your energy and your time is being exchanged continuously with that, it affects you. It affects your outer happiness, then it affects your inner happiness, then it affects your stability, because the energy is getting sucked in by you one way or another. So pay attention to where you are. Every one of you, when you feel you're in a place and you feel like you can live with whatever the outcome is, that's what it feels like. That's when Christ is involved in any of our lives. When we're just okay with whatever happens. Not that we're complacent. It's that when we really think we want something and we're right there, you think you want to be with this person. You think you have to have this job, this car, this house. And you just feel like, my God, if I don't have it, I'm going to fall apart. But then you realize that you didn't fall apart. And you realize that you still woke up the next day, okay, no matter what happens. So then during your conscious time, when you say, God, I'd really love to have that house, instead of feeling like so bad that you didn't get it or that person didn't pay attention to you or whatever it is you think you want, instead of feeling bad about that, you have to ask yourself, well, what would I need to do to get that? If I really want it, I know that I have to do something to have it. What would I have to do? Do I have to just buy it? Do I have to put an offer on it? Do I have to work a little bit more? Do I have to save a little bit more? What kind of loans can I get? Where's my standing today? Because then you understand what it takes instead of just thinking things just land at our door. Answer machine. Or a prayer answer machine. God will give us what we need to learn what we came here to learn. Period. And we have the free will to accept those answers or not. But we have to do the work. And it's not hard work. We just have to think. And the best way to think is to do something that we don't have to think very much in. Go clean a closet. Clean out your car. Clean. Let your mind just feel organized. And other things will fall into play. The answers are so simple that we overlook them waiting for a magic answer. And Christ is magic, period, but he is not a magic answer. And I need to be patient because, you know, it's hard for me to sleep sometimes if I feel like I have a lot left that I need to do, or I didn't get to answer, or I didn't get to do this, or I didn't get to do that. But I also have to be respectful of the process. So to answer the questions, you know, I would just say, you know, if it takes me a couple of days, let it take me a couple of days. It's nothing that you're being ignored. Just give me time to let the answers come. The other thing I had was about sleep paralysis. People who have sleep paralysis where they're awake and they realize that they can't move. It's almost like they're asleep, but they're awake. They're conscious of the fact that they can't move. And by the way, this is very common, much more common than you could imagine. It may happen once to somebody. It may happen a lot to somebody. You know, sometimes in bigger arenas, if it's always happening, it could be triggered by different things, just like sleep deprivation or some kind of stress, or maybe your sleep cycles have been off, or you've been staying up later and waking up early the same way, or something like that that interrupts your sleep. I wouldn't go as far as, you know, looking for a solution, because they don't have many solutions for it. They're not actually sure why it happens. I know it's happened to me before, and I know in those times I had, you know, like seen Christ and actually woke up and realized what was happening, but my soul wasn't in my body. So it was, but not completely, because I was with, and I knew I was with him, and my body wasn't moving, and I couldn't move it because I didn't have the energy to do it. And sometimes on the way there, my body would shake a little bit, and then I would like fall asleep, and I'd wake up, and I'd be like, oh my God, I wasn't dreaming. Oh my God, that was real. Like, oh, what just happened? And it's almost like being here and at home at the same time. And so just let it pass. The fact that it happens is kind of cool, and I know we try to find bigger meanings and all of that, but it's just that, you know, you end up waking up when you're still asleep. In a weird way, your body's asleep. You're still between home and here. It's the same thing as that feeling when you're little. It doesn't happen so much when we're bigger because our body's accustomed, but you know how we go home every night when we sleep. We just do. Everybody does. So when we're little and we're not used to traveling, because our soul can move very easily, when we go to sleep, remember that feeling you get, like you feel like you're going to fall off your bed and then you actually fall asleep? That feeling is just you traveling. So then you fall asleep and you go, and then you come back and you're refreshed. And that's the same thing, only you stay awake or you wake up. So, you know, it looks scary. Oh, my God, you can't move. But it's not scary at all. It's nothing to worry about. It could happen a lot. It could happen a little. They're not sure why. And I love the not sure whys, because there's always God is behind it. There's a reason. But it's nothing to, like, feel like you have to go to the doctor for, or, that you've been abducted by aliens or it's a paranormal event or anything like that. But sometimes it's triggered by the fact that you're maybe not sleeping enough or you're feeling some kind of stress. But it's not a dysfunction. People try to make it something scary, and it's not scary. So just so you know, for that question, that sleep paralysis is, they gave it a name, but it's been happening throughout time and will continue to happen. It's a periodic thing, if it's anything at all. So now I have another question. Show, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I think Relationship Wednesday's show, about people who don't have patience with themselves, kind of the narcissistic personality who doesn't have patience with anyone, not even themselves. They're hard on everybody. And Miri had a question that says, what if we are the ones that are in transition and we lack patience for ourselves and therefore believe the other person won't understand? If we believe we're not lovable, successful enough to be desired as a partner, so we choose to speak in half-truths, how can we be desired as a person even if we are unsure about where life will take us? Society makes us believe only if we have all our ducks in a row, we're worth something. How can we turn the half-truths around? Well, society does try to sell that, but people don't generally believe it because it's too hard for people to live and not have a leeway to be a human being. We need to allow, again, ourselves to be human beings. If you're going to wait till you are perfect, whatever that means to you, you're going to wait your entire lifetime. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have a stop sign in front of your face, if you could think of it that way, or a red light that says, don't come near me, I'm not ready yet, I'm not ready yet, I'm not ready yet. And then you choose people that won't care. So you start dating down instead of dating maybe an intellectual parallel or somebody who you can learn from. You date people who you won't care or you think they don't care. And then you realize that you need someone who cares more than the people you've chosen. So you start doing this like weird dating down thing or thinking below just because you don't feel good enough to be who you want to be yet. And that's something that, you know, kind of held me up for a few years. I kept thinking, oh, as soon as I get this book out, as soon as I get this website, as soon as I do this, as soon as I do that, I kept thinking there's a magic answer. And then I realized just do the work. Do it every day. The more you do, the more you can do. The more you feel, better you feel about what you do. Us just accepting ourselves will allow that green light, will allow others to accept us. When we expect other people to accept us on half-truths, how can we turn the half-truths around is to force yourself to just say, you know what? I'm right here in my life and this is where I'd like to be. Period. Anyone an explanation? Nobody needs to know what's in the 10th layer of your psyche. You probably don't even know. And if you're going to wait to find out, a whole lifetime will pass by. But learn to speak the truth about little things. Like, wow, I did that because I really just wanted to see what would happen. Oh, you know what? I used to just tell half-truths because I was too scared to think anyone would accept me otherwise. Now, if I hear that from somebody, I will trust them a little bit more. But if I heard that from someone and I trusted them and then they did it again and then they did it again and then they did it again, now I have to put the brakes on and say, hey, wait a minute, that's a great line. However, you don't believe it. Telling the truth about every little thing. Where? First to yourself. To God and tell God everything you don't tell the truth about, because you need to hear what that sounds like. What is your cover story and who's the real you? Because what people need to connect to is a real person so that they themselves can be a real person. But if you are not connected to the truth, it's going to be hard for anyone to stay there for too long because you're selling them an image. And then they get to know a person and they're saying, hey, the person in the image don't join hands. It's a very interesting thing to see how the truth slightly curved or slightly turned around can repel anything around it. And people who aren't used to telling the truth don't know that yet. But the way to know that, the way to feel that, the way to learn that is by just telling the truth. Like the couple, the man and the woman, the man, you know, he also had a problem telling the truth because it turns out as a child, he got in more trouble than if he didn't. So we learned to just shut his parents up. He was an only child. He had nobody to bounce off of. And as long as they didn't know the truth, they left him alone. And then he just learned to do what he wanted to do. Fast forward, he grows up. And what happens in his relationships? He tells his wife whatever he needs to tell her to shut her up. And he just does what he wants to do. Only as an adult, the things he wants to do were hurting his relationship with his wife. His wife's like, hey, what just happened? Hey, what happened? But now he put her in a position of authority like he did his own parents, and he started behaving the same way because that was his coping mechanism. Did he do it to hurt her? No. Did it hurt him? Yes. So for whatever reason, you have a coping mechanism that you need to be perfect for anyone to love you. Is the very thing ego needs from you is to listen to it. But your job is to grow past the ego. There is never, and I will use the word never, be a successful feeling in your heart, in any of our hearts. Ever do anything that doesn't go back to truth, to love, and to purity. And that's something that even now, like as a person, and I say, I'd be too embarrassed to tell anybody that, you know, I'm not making money. Everyone thinks I'm this author and I'm successful and blah, blah, blah. Some of the poorest people I know are authors. So now I just say it. I'm free of feeling like I have to be bigger, better than I am. I'm not. I'm happy. So that's what I can share. Is it hard every month? Yes. Has it been hard this year? Yes, yes. Because I'm starting a lot of things this year. Actually, it's been about a year and a half. Because to start something, you actually have to start it. And I had to give myself that waiting to get my ducks in a row. And then I'm like, but what ducks are they? And so as I became more realistic, everything around me became more real. By doing things, I know, okay, this is what I need next, and this is what I need next. I knew what to ask of people around me to help me. I knew that I physically, in 24 hours a day and needing to sleep, I wouldn't have the time. I also knew I didn't have all the knowledge I needed. Came to me who helped me have no idea their role. Why? Because I told the truth. I had to admit that this isn't easy. I had to admit things that, you know, yes, I do know Christ. Did it make me perfect? No. But it did make me truthful? Yes. Did it make me feel love in a pure way? Yes. But I'm not perfect. And honestly, I don't want to be perfect. I'm having so much fun delving into this and delving into that. I'm taking chances. My writing is more alive because it's truth-driven. That's how powerful the truth is. When we say one lie leads to 1,000 lies, it just piles up and piles up and piles up, and then the ego's like, oh, and then add this to it, and then add that to it. But the ego will leave you high and dry every time. Every single time. Thing where I say the worst truth is better than the best lie could never be more true. I am a happy person. I don't need much to live. That's my truth. I love doing this work. Sometimes it's hard for me. Sometimes I feel, you know, down because I want to make ends meet. I want to relax in that way. But then Christ just slides in so quietly and he says, but it keeps you grounded. It makes you realize what's really going on in our world. You know how people feel before they go to bed. At least you know what your issues are. And I hear that and I go to bed calmly and cleanly with hope for the next day, with excitement for the next day. That's truth. If you say, hey, you know what, I'm 29 years old, I would love to have a partner. I'm scared to have a partner because I feel like I have to be perfect because I don't know how to be myself. God, please give me someone that I can be myself with, be myself to me too. I can't be a secret to myself. I have to know that I'm okay and that anyone can love me because, bottom line, I'm actually a pretty good person. The fact that I feel good about myself, I want someone who feels good about themselves because we're going to have challenges. We're going to have issues. We're going to have differences and we're going to have really great, happy times. That's what makes life life, and I can accept that. Talk to yourself like that. Give yourself space to grow. Give yourself room to transition from one thought to another without it being negative, without it carrying judgment. I found that people who are nice to other people and hard on themselves are people who feel sorry for themselves at the end of the day because they couldn't be there for them. They're like, look, I've done this and I've done that and I'm so nice to people. Why are they nice to me? Why don't I treat myself at least like I would a friend? Why don't I give my soul that level of respect? Because to try to is self-disrespect. Think about that. Your soul can only be as good as you want to be, as happy as you want to be, as happy as you could be, because it can only give you what it has in it. If you can hear it. These little things, half-truths, problem, a bigger problem than someone who just flat-out lies and knows they're lying and could care less. Because that's a different, that's an arrogance. But those little half-truths are saying, I don't accept me here, I don't accept me there, I don't, but I do accept me here. Well, I like the way at least I look, or I like the way, you know, I can play soccer or whatever it is you might do in life. But be honest to you first. Speak honestly in your mind, not in a negative tone. Give it balance, good and indifferent. Things you'd like to see grow and give yourself the time to grow. I have 10 seconds, you guys. I love you. Have a great weekend. I'll see you when I'm back in LA. Bye-bye.